and then doing the mayor job, and I've had, I've learned a lot. I came here not knowing much, leaned on a bunch of people to learn about Bryson Beach, was able to be with some pretty smart folks to identify a fair amount of problems, got into a little long-range planning, kind of implemented a little bit of a business strategy to run the town, and based on what I know today, it's been fairly successful. Doesn't mean we don't have things to finish and things to accomplish, but the last 4 years have been significant in fixing some of the older problems on the beach, raising capital, and sort of taking care of from a business standpoint, all on the backs of a great staff that we have here at Bryson Beach. And when you see those guys, you need to appreciate them because they work hard and they have to put up with us, and it's been a great time. Anyway, I don't want to take a whole lot of your time off. I've done giving you my best, made a few mistakes probably, done a few good things. But it's all been part of the group on the boards and the support of the advisory board, like the planning committee. Thank you very much.
Mr. Blair, thank you, sir. Next, for her opening statement, Bryson Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Pat Bradford. Ms. Bradford, 3 minutes.
I'm going to stand up because I'm a little height challenged, and I'm more comfortable this way. I want to thank you for coming out tonight. It's always exciting to see these town forums go on and to see the democratic process go down. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pat Bradford, and I offer strong and ethical leadership. 18 years ago, I co-founded Bryson Beach Magazine. 15 years ago, I founded Lumina News. Whew, I'm nervous. I'm a highly organized person. My friends will tell you that. The people I work with will tell you that. I'm accustomed to working in reports, spreadsheets, budgets. I'm accustomed to hiring, firing, attracting, retaining quality personnel. I've been in business for over 40 years, 20 of it here at Riceville Beach. I know how to listen. I am fiscally conservative. I have strong knowledge of both commercial and residential real estate. I am confident and well-versed in the legislative arena at the local, state, and federal level. I understand how government works. My institutional knowledge of Riceville Beach is 2 decades deep. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I have earned this through reporting on our town, our people, and our issues during the terms of 5 mayors, 5 town managers, 2 interim town managers, 2 town clerks, 2 finance officers, 3 police chiefs, 3 fire chiefs, 3 public works directors, and an untold host of elected and staff and volunteer board members. This uniquely qualifies me. As the publisher of the town's brand new newspaper, I resigned my seat on the Historic Landmark Commission because of an ethical concern. I can't be in government and report on government. The purpose of government is not to impose moral restrictions on its citizens. The purpose of government is to protect and prosper its citizens. Why am I running? Simply, I love this town. I love my way of life. This is my promised land, and it's my time.
Okay.
I'm here to serve others. Am I done?
Mm-hmm. You're done.
Okay, I'm done.
I will try my best not to let, if you're in the middle of a sentence, any of you, I don't want to cut you off in the middle of a sentence, but I'm not going to let you start another line of thinking or another conversation once we get past that 3 minute mark in this section or the 2 minute mark of answering the questions. Next, for her opening statement this evening, we have Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Sonia Cheney. Ms. Cheney, you have 3 minutes.
Yes, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Evans for doing such a great job on the drill or not to drill event the other day, opposed drilling, because I love Wrightsville Beach, but I also want to thank him for coming here after attending a funeral in Pennsylvania today. Wow. He just got back. So I'm hoping that I can one day be as dedicated as you. But but my slogan is new energy, enthusiasm, and trust. I have new energy because I am new in town. I've been here a couple of years. Before this, I was in Colorado and in Northern Virginia. But my background goes to Iran. I was born in Iran where there was a monarchy. Everybody, the king's son would automatically get elected, so I don't miss a chance to vote. Last time I went to vote, I noticed that the ballot had no choices. There were only, everybody was running unopposed, so I just thought that you needed a new person. If you picked me, I'd be honored to serve. But my background is pretty diverse. I've been a small business owner for over 20 years. I've been a volunteer EMT, ambulance driver, lifeguard. I've done it all. I was a candy striper once. I misspelled it, candy stripper. I'm not a good speller, but I have four kids. We enjoy the beach. We live at the South End. Before that, I was at the mooring, so I love every part of the beach. And what allows me to go ahead and get involved is that now I'm working in real estate. I'm at Intercoastal Realty. I'm honored to be on Vance Young's team. So ever since I've gotten involved, I've just enjoyed it, marketing the neighborhood. And one of my accomplishments recently was to sell a tear down property at the South End for almost $2 million. So I know how to market this beach, and I have the software and technology background that I can make things a little bit more efficient. And again, new energy's needed. It can never hurt. I can never hijack the board. You always need three votes, you know, to go ahead and pass anything. So you're not taking a risk by selecting someone new, but you could actually benefit from some new ideas, a new eye on something. And ever since I headed a homeowners association or a PTA, I've always heard people saying, we've thought of that, we've thought of that idea, we've done this, but it never hurts to reopen ideas and listen to more citizens, because you know, it's not about my goal or being biased about something, but it's about listening to the citizens and representing the majority.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next up for his opening statement this evening, Riceville Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Ken Dull. Mr. Dull, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you, John. Thanks for hosting tonight. And I want to tell everybody, I appreciate everybody coming out. This is, y'all have a lot better things to do than come see us here tonight, but thank you, because it is important. The town of Riceville Beach is an integral piece of this southeastern North Carolina. It's probably, in my mind, it's kind of the diamond of this area. It's real important that we take good care of it. And you know, I've always served and tried to be civic minded in this community. And I've got some friends here tonight. I've served with on planning commissions for the city. See them back there, and some different things. I've served for the county and on this planning boards, and I've served the Wilmington Housing Authority, so I've got a good feel of kind of what goes on around here in our area, because we're not detached when you cross the beach. We are very integral to what goes on in this community. So, I've either lived here or owned property here for 30 years. I look fondly back at the 101 Island Drive over near the Mini Park. Was the first place we lived, and it was, I still look fondly back at that, and you know, it's 30 years later, it's important. I want to have a place where my kids could come back and live in this community, and get jobs and have the same quality of life I've had for the past 30 years. So this is something I see as kind of a culmination of my life's work up to this point, the work I do for a living, the community work that I do, the serving I do for the community and other things, is just a natural progression to be the alderman for this town. So, I've done 4 years on the planning commission, and I've been chairing the water ad hoc committee, which is an interesting subject. And so I would love for your vote, and I'd love to try to serve this town. Thank you.
Mr. Dell, thank you. Next, for his opening statement, incumbent member of the Board of Aldermen, Mr. Hank Miller. Mr. Miller, you have 3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, John. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I'm sorry I've got a cold. I don't think you can get it from here, but if I sound like I'm miserable, I'm not really. That doesn't sound terrible. I had enjoyed serving the last 4 years as your alderman with Mayor Blair, and I'll mention a few things Sue for having this event. You know, I guess I've learned since the last time I was here that there's a whole lot of things that happen in Roxanne Beach. I was born and raised here, moved down here when I was a baby, rode my tricycle naked down Jasmine. Not doing that now, I did that at one, two. I won't do that again, but you know, the things that are important to me now that I have children are four things. Keeping our taxes low is my first, second, third, and fourth. Sand on the beach, clean water, good working sewer, and what I said to the chief, excellent public safety. Those are my four things. The rest to me is things we can talk about, things that we have ideas about, and things that we can look at. Some of the things that we've accomplished in the last 4 years, Lisa's here, Bill's here, of course, with Alderman King and Alderman Mills. One of the things that we're going to talk about is sand. Eventually, somebody is going to quit paying for it, and we're going to have to participate more than we do now. We have a sand fund that we have over $2 million that we put away without increasing taxes. In the last 4 years, we've put over $5 million towards our preserve fund, general reserve fund. Also, as you know, we've improved our park. We got a grant for the park in the last 4 years. My kids enjoy that. And one of the other things we're going to talk about tonight is safety, is how we move people around this beach. We've got a sidewalk for the school. We've got some public, some pedestrian crosswalks that there's one towards just north of the surf club that's going in. I think I've got 3 minutes. So. Some of the things that I want to do is finish what we started. The Water and Sewer Committee is working. They haven't come back with a report yet, but we're talking about that. And of course, the Camel Land Use Plan is coming. But while I'm running, they're not here tonight. They wanted to come and see their daddy with my 3 and 6-year-old sons, Mac and Henry. That's why I'm running. Mac's out of town, my wife, Mac. Oh, you let me finish that thought? My mom and dad live here. I want my kids to be able to
okay.
Enjoy what we have today.
All right. For mom and dad, I let you finish the thought. Next, for her opening statement this evening, we have Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Pat Prince. Ms. Prince, you have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. I want to start by, my name is Pat Prince. I want to thank John Evans, Mary Baggett, and the Bakken Runner, Sue Bullock, the Chamber, for, and mostly all of you for coming out tonight. I really appreciate it. I am a North Carolina native, and that is the result of a very handsome young Marine who met a beautiful telephone operator during World War II, right in Wilmington. He asked her where to go dancing, and that is my parents. And because of that, I spent many weekends at Greenville Lake and Wrightsville Beach picnicking, and my wonderful husband, Mike, of 43 years, we have 2 daughters, and we have spent most of our summers here in Wrightsville Beach. And to my daughters and to Mike and I, this is home. And we have owned property here since 2000. I'm a Recreation Administration graduate of UNC Chapel Hill. I have worked in city recreation, so I've worked with city governments. I've also worked in state government as a clerk for Representative Jane Mosley, my mentor, and a wonderful government representative that we all greatly miss. Lost my place in my notes, sorry about that. But like I said, we consider this home, and that's the first reason I'm running, because home is a special place, and that's the place you want to serve, protect, and do the absolute best that you can do to keep it at its best. And I want to be a voice for everyone who feels the same as I do about this special place that we're fortunate enough to call home. And lastly, I'm also running because I always tell my girls, there comes a time in your life when you either have to show up or shut up. And I'm showing up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Prince. Now, yeah, she can give them all a round of applause for their opening statements as well. Now we're going to go to the lightning round. And candidates, we really, 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 really would like this to be yes or no answers. If we can, we're going to go down. You'll have 2 minutes for the next set of questions, but yes or no answers to these questions. Mr. Mayor, we're going to start with you, and we'll go all the way down the line every time. The first lightning round question, yes or no. Should the town consider off-island parking solutions to help our traffic problems? Mayor Blair?
Yes.
Ms. Bradford?
Yes.
Ms. Cheney?
Yes.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Ms. Prince?
Yes.
Question two, should we look toward Cape Fear Public Utility Authority partnering on our water and sewer services? Mayor Blair?
Yes.
Ms. Bradford?
No.
Ms. Cheney?
Yes.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Ms. Prince?
Yes.
Question three, would you be willing to lobby the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners to take back responsibility for ocean rescue services, returning to the county paying Wrightsville Beach for those services? Mayor Blair?
Yes.
Ms. Bradford?
Yes.
Ms. Cheney?
Yes.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Ms. Prince?
Yes.
The final lightning round question. Would you support the licensing of food and service vendors on the beach strand? Mayor Blair?
No.
Ms. Bradford?
I don't know.
Ms. Cheney?
Yes.
Mr. Dahl?
No.
Mr. Miller?
No.
Ms. Prince?
Yes.
Those are the lightning round questions. Now we will go to the third part of our evening, which will be the...
One more.
I didn't get number five.
I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. Do you... I apologize for that.
No, it's my fault.
Do you support improvements to the island's pedestrian and bikeways to help address the increasing traffic congestion? For example, restricting lanes on the causeway to widen the shoulders. Mayor Blair?
Yes.
Ms. Bradford?
Yes.
Ms. Cheney?
Yes.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Ms. Prince?
Yes.
Okay. Now we can move on to the third part of our evening. And I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, I did not have that in my list. All right, we will go with 2 minute answers to these questions. And once again, we will rotate so every one of you will have the opportunity to answer first. And again, we will, even though the bell may ring, I want you to be able to finish the thought you have at that time, but I'm not going to let you move forward with any other major thoughts and or paragraphs. Ms. Bradford, I'm going to ask you for the first response to this question, ma'am. Our water and sewer infrastructure is in need of upfitting. While we are repairing on an as-we-go basis, would you support floating a bond issue to cover the needed repairs and improvements and allowing for a major repair and replacement project for both? Ms. Bradford, you have up to 2 minutes.
Well, I need more information on bond issues because that's not something that I know a great deal about. But I do see them working in the city of Wilmington, so it's something I'm interested in pursuing. Our water and sewer infrastructure is in great need. It really is. The water pipes under the ground in some places are still clay. Our sewer, we have a pipe that goes across from Wrightsville Beach to the mainland, and in places it's just inches under the surface. On top of that, the developer built a dock over the pipe on the mainland side. One place it's 3 inches off the main sewer pipe, the sewer main, that carries all of that from here to there. In another place, it's a foot off. I'm very concerned. This board heard a report at the last meeting that talked about what it would take to get it repaired, what it would take to learn more about it, what it would take to put in a redundant line. And I'm in favor of a redundant line so that we're covered. I've seen boat props take out the water and sewer for towns that are islands before. And the engineer that spoke to the board talked about 1.7 million gallons per day of raw sewage in our water. If it was over the 4th of July weekend, most of us should remember the Hewlett's Creek spill. It was pretty ugly. We don't need that again. So if a bond issue is what it takes, yeah, I'm all for looking at it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Chaney, I'll kind of size up the question again. Would you support floating a bond issue to cover the needed repairs for water and sewer, allowing for a major repair and replacement project for both?
Being a small business owner and mother of four, I'm very conservative in spending. I don't believe that we should be raising taxes unless very necessary. And so very conservative is on that. But I did attend some of the meetings where a $2 million quote was given for the redundant or the new pipe, 14-inch pipe one under the intercoastal waterway. And the whole total budget of Bristol Beach is $13 million, right, ma'am? So that's a huge amount. So we need to go ahead and make sure we have several choices to choose from, but also not be irresponsible and wait for emergencies to happen, because that's when prices for ad hoc type of solutions go up. But I do believe that we should reinvent the wheel. If there's another way for us to outsource the services, we should go ahead and take advantage of it, but keep the supplier, if it's Cape Fear, to very high standards. You know, they should go ahead and make sure testing goes on for water, for Gen X and other things. So if they're gonna be our service providers, we're gonna hold them to really high standards.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Dell, your response to the question about whether you would support floating a bond issue to cover needed repairs for water and sewer, allowing for a major repair and replacement project.
Thanks, John. So, yeah, bonds sometimes are very useful. I am against putting the burden on the taxpayers if we don't have to. I think right now we're in a good position with our assessment of the system. Now we do know that we do have issues. We do have an engineering firm that's been hired that's also doing work. That's still doing assessments on the system. The answer to the question is, I don't think I would be in favor of a bond, mainly for two reasons. One is the taxes is put a burden on the folks that live here. And the second is, I think that the way we're doing it right now, we are replacing the most critical items that are necessary right now, and it would be less disruptive to the town as opposed to trying to do wholesale changes in the whole system throughout town.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Miller, your thoughts on would you support floating a bond issue to cover the needed repairs on water and sewer and a possible major repair and replacement project for both?
Well, I'm not going to repeat what Candidate Dull said, but that's basically where I was going with the answer. But I will say this. This is a fluid issue. It's not something that I could just sit here and give you an answer tonight. This board did put together a water and sewer committee, of which I believe you're the chair. And they have been working for almost 2 years studying this issue, up to and including tying into CFPUA and all kinds of different ideas. And they haven't made a decision or made a presentation to us yet. I'm not going to say I'm against a bond issue or for a bond issue, because I can't, because this is an unprecedented question. So it's a maybe. I don't see any reason to do that. We've spent over $1 million in the last 2 years or 3 years. Without a tax increase, I'll tell you, to fix aging water and sewer lines. These are aging water and sewer lines that have been aging for a long time. And we have fixed them on an as-needed basis, but in some proactive fixing, and we have a plan in place to do that. The redundant line has been redundant for 30-some years. This board and this committee is looking at replacing that. We did just find out it was $2 million. And we need a redundant line, we're going to have to figure out how to pay for it. So that's what we're looking at. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Prince, your thoughts on supporting a bond issue to cover needed repairs and improvements and possible repair and replacement projects for water and sewer?
Again, I am not going to repeat the two gentlemen before me, but I totally agree with them. I think the town has done an excellent job in studying and repairing and what has been needed. I think we need to continue on an as-is basis and prepare for that. If there comes a need to consider a bond, I think at that time we should look at it, but I think the town is doing an excellent job on really keeping a finger on the pulse. They're looking at ways to monitor where the weak spots are right now, and I think we should continue on as-is and address it as needed. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mayor Blair, I'm asking your thoughts on, would you support floating a bond issue to cover needed repairs and improvements for water and sewer?
I am sure that everybody sitting in this audience probably is aware of the small water and sewer increases we've taken over the last 2 years. And the reason those, that enterprise fund has been changed is to start taking care of some of the infrastructure improvements, water and sewer, that have been neglected for a number of years, mainly because folks here just don't want to spend the money. The fact is, we have water line failure, sewer line failure. We've upgraded significant lift stations and spent well over $1 million simply trying to catch up. A bond issue, as anybody that has property in the city of Wilmington is well aware of what a parks bond issue does. It feels good to start with, and you get big old tax increases to pay for it. So, to be realistic, a bond issue is nothing more than borrowing money and paying it back over time like anything else. We have identified through the Water Committee what other critical things we need to fix and have the money set aside to fix these things over the next year or so. The redundant line over the bridge is a new item we've been taking on. That will be, that can be handled in-house. We have some things in the works that I wish I could tell you tonight how it's going to work, but in January you'll hear more about this. But there's ways to take care of our infrastructure problems in-house with the current system we have without putting a bigger burden on the residents of the beach.
Thank you, sir. The next question, Ms. Cheney, I'm going to ask you to respond first, if I can. Ma'am, 2 minutes. What are your suggestions or your vision for improving traffic movement during the heavy summer traffic period?
I was going to say that I really appreciate the town staff. The town manager was nice enough to have a meeting with me and share his ideas. So you can be confident that if there's a change in the board, everything still, you know, train still goes on, because they're the ones that handle the everyday business of town. But regarding the traffic, we all know that Wilmington is only going to grow. Traffic is only going to get more congested, and I know that the Department of Transportation is working on all sorts of different road improvements. For Wrightsville Beach, one of my ideas, being a software consultant for Fortune 500 companies, and we've done apps in the past, there's an easy way to determine if there's parking spaces available throughout the island. So I noticed, cars going by my house and going to areas with no outlets, they're frustrated with kids in the car. They should be told before they cross over the bridge, there's no more parking available. You can redirect them to Carolina Beach, Topsail, other areas. But everybody gets frustrated, and the quality of life for everyone is degraded. People driving around frustrated, and residents here also noticing all the cars going by. So there's some technology solutions that could be just out of box thinking.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Dell, your suggestions or your vision for improving traffic during the heavy summer traffic period?
Thank you. That's interesting you say that, because I understand that there is actually the technologies out there. the company I work with, we just built a new parking deck for the hospital, and it's got a parking system design with the new technology. It's not quite, cell phone app ready, but what it does is it allows, when you get to the parking deck, it's going to tell you what parking spaces are available. It's going to actually tell you which parking place to go to, so you're not driving around the parking deck. So I think what Ms. Chaney's saying here is absolutely correct, and I think that's breakthrough technology. Told them the other day, and had some folks sharing that same information with me, that if you think about most of the folks that are coming to the beach, they're all using smartphones. It's the 30 and under crowd, or the bulk of the folks that come down here and ride around looking for parking places. And I hate it for them too, because I walk across the street and go to the beach, and I just feel bad for these people just backed up in traffic. So that would be awesome if we can figure out if this technology, go ahead and get it in place. There might be some other ideas. I took civil engineering at NC State and took transportation classes, and there's other things that possibly could be done with maybe changing some streets into some same direction, to get the flow working a little better. But this whole technology app thing that just keeps people from even coming here, it's going to save everybody time and effort. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Miller, your suggestions or your vision for improving traffic movement during the heavy summer traffic period?
Well, I got to say, I hate it for us, too. I do hate it that they come in here and get by the parking place, but I really hate it for us, especially in the summer. This is another one of those issues that, it's not one of my top four, like I said, but it is an issue, and it's a quality of life issue that I'm on the MPO, which is the Transportation Council for this area, and I've asked DOT to look at the access, which they are studying the access to the beach as it currently exists for the drawbridge and the boat traffic. We're going to have to figure out, there's going to be, I don't know, you didn't listen to anybody, you want to 10,000 more people over there in the next 2 or 3 years within 2 miles. They're coming. We're going to have to figure out a balance between how we, I know the long range, or Camelandi's plan has talked about how we handle with our infrastructure, bathroom facilities, that kind of stuff. We only have a finite amount of parking spaces. We only have a finite amount of beach. So there are going to be a lot of things that we're going to need to discuss and that we're going to have to be proactive. I don't have the answers. If I did, I'd be, I guess, the mayor. Or governor, how about that? I don't have the answers, but we're going to have to look at them. We need to look at them pretty quickly. And maybe when the Water Committee's through with this issue, with that issue, we'll look up that. But we are looking at traffic stuff. Bike paths of some sort are going to have to be looked at. More pedestrian crosswalks. More of the little guys in the middle of the road, like us out here in front of the blockade runner, because you're going to have people, you're going to have cars, you're going to have bikes, and they're going to be on their cell phones when they're coming down here. But I do like the technology. Technology is changing, and we have already looked at, for that thing dings, our parking meters as we upgrade them. They do have the ability to us to upgrade and do that kind of stuff, and we are working with the parking people and doing that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Ms. Prince, your suggestions or your vision for improving traffic, especially during the heavy summer traffic period?
I think earlier everybody up here said they were interested in looking into off-beach parking, which is one thing we need to consider. Number two, there's a beautiful bike plan that was developed for the town of Wrightsville Beach in 2009. Now, I do understand some of the suggestions in there might not be cost-effective, but there's some great suggestions in there that I think have kind of been laid by the wayside. And that plan needs to be pulled out and looked at again, because bikers are not obeying the traffic laws. And there's got to be some enforcement to bikers also. It's not just the traffic. There's biker unsafety. Another thing that I think that we need to do that is very important, we have not been out our parking in at least 8 years here in the town of Wrightsville Beach. I consider that poor business practice. Anybody who uses it as a big contractor needs to be bid out every 4 to 5 years. Let's make sure we are getting the maximum parking spaces we need. Let's make sure we are charging the right amount for parking. Maybe we can get a few more spaces. That needs to be looked at. And that could maybe give us a few more spaces, who knows? Maybe we could move some stuff around. But I think that is a very important thing that needs to be looked at as far as our parking on this island. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mayor Blair, your suggestions for improving traffic movement during the heavy summer traffic period?
I think most of the technology issue, there's some good ideas to be passed around on the candidates, but we all have to be realistic. We have a beach that gets recognized 2 or 3 times a year for being a great location. Everybody's doing their job. Everybody wants to come. The beach is not going to get any bigger, so we have that box we have to work in. Before we can get the technology to fix the problem, we can also do a few things on our own to just help the summertime traffic. For example, we go in there and do the left-hand turn signal on Wayne. It can add 35 seconds to it, so we can get an extra 30 cars off the beach so the blockade runner's entrance doesn't get blocked up on Sundays and Saturdays. We're going to put policemen in the intersection to wave cars through there and try to expedite the process. There's some of the simple things we're trying to kind of make happen on the beach to help the weekend traffic. The technology, long-term solution, in the short term, we're trying to get seen some of that, some glimpse of that this summer. You'll see a bunch of that next summer.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Bradford, your suggestions or your vision for improving traffic during the heavy summer traffic period?
All of our quality of life issues stem from the risky issues coming from Wilmington. There are going to be more students at the university. There are going to be more people in Wilmington and New Hanover County. So we have to put a plan in place for how we're going to deal with it. I have just recently spent some time at the edge of the drawbridge, and I have noticed some things about how the traffic flows right there. And one simple thing that I thought would be great is if the boaters coming from Wilmington came off the bridge and turned right and went down around under the bridge, they'd come into the boat ramp and they wouldn't cut across traffic. It's very unnerving when a boat and a trailer comes across the bridge, they're turning left and they're impeding the traffic going off the beach. So that's one idea. I do notice a lot of people actually do go under and around the bridge, I guess because they don't want to have to try to get across six lanes of traffic. So that's what Mayor Blair said about just changing, just tweaking some little things to where the traffic flow is better. I can't tell you, I have been daydreaming about how awesome a roundabout would be right there, but I know there's great opposition to a roundabout here. I don't understand it. But I would love to see some discussion of the way that traffic flow just coming off the bridge, both those stops, with the traffic cutting across to go to Salisbury, traffic trying to go straight on the causeway. I'd like to see something really, when the traffic plan comes out, how they've studied that and what it'll say that we can do differently, because it's really kind of chaotic. And we all know that.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Dill, I'm going to ask you to first respond to the next question, sir, if I may. The setup, there are FEMA changes coming to all beaches. FEMA regulations impact eligibility for federal relief dollars. Those regulations include higher elevation of first floor membranes. These changes are likely to cause hardship for the reconstruction of any of our commercial districts in districts 1, 2, and 3. The question, sir, would you consider restructuring the height limit in those districts only? For heights not to exceed 50 feet, or some other flexibility to allow a minimum of 10-foot ceilings, plus the new height requirements. Your thoughts?
Thank you, John. You know, after serving on this planning commission for over 4 years, what I have found out is everything at Rice and Beach is real personal, and I don't know if there's anything that's any more personal than a 40-foot height rule, and. You know, I've had some thoughts. You know, I'm in the building business. You know, background is, you know, the civil engineering, and I always think there's ways to think outside the box. But I think this issue at this time, I think the voters of Rice and Beach are real adamant based on the feedback that I've gotten the past 4 years at 40 feet, what they like. And so, you know, if the voters change their mind moving forward, you know, it would be something I would be interested in talking about.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Miller, would you consider restructuring the height limit in districts 1, 2, and 3 for heights not to exceed 50 feet, or some other flexibility to allow a minimum of 10-foot ceilings plus the height requirements?
How long have you been on the plan for? You learned pretty quick. This is a very, in my opinion, two of us get elected to serve y'all. It's not about what we think, and quite frankly, I'm in the real estate business. I used to be in the construction business. I understand some of the concerns of the people that would like to see this happen. But I've only had two people in my entire time on this board come up and tell me that we needed to go over 40 feet. Didn't say that I agree or disagree with it. I just tell you that I've only had two people tell me that. And one was involved in a project. If I'm elected, until y'all tell me different, that's how I feel about it. I understand the all the issues, but we haven't had any property owners, current property owners, that aren't trying to develop their properties, say anything about participating, looking at 40 feet or something higher. I get the argument in the residential, but this says commercial. Other than a hotel, I don't know who's going up on the second story and spending money in the commercial enterprise. The Galleria failed. It's just, I said in my answer to the newspaper, the economy drives the market, and I think we've seen one project since I've been on this board that asked us to go over 40 feet.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Prince, would you consider restructuring the height limit in districts 1, 2, and 3 for heights not to exceed 50 feet, or some other flexibility to allow a minimum of 10-foot ceilings plus the height requirements?
Again, I agree with Mr. Miller on the fact that that is up to the residents. I think it is definitely an issue that each individual project has to be looked at. It depends on the sustainability of the project, what it brings aesthetically, what it brings tax-wise, what it brings service-wise to the community. If it's a service that the community wants and needs, and it's a good tax base, everything has to be judged on its own merit. You can't just blanket pass one thing. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mayor Blair, your thoughts on the issue of possibly reconsidering restructuring the height limit in districts 1, 2, and 3, and other flexibility?
We don't have a lot of space left to develop on this beach. We have some redevelopment opportunities. And I would agree with Hank. I think we should look at any project that come to us that the folks on this beach would like to see happen. I think as a rule, I don't know that I just blanket cover ceiling heights for any unknown reason, but I'd like to see a great project that folks on the beach might want to look at. And I don't know that the board in particular has ever had a problem with looking at a project based on the merits that it brings to the residents, but each project has to stand on its own merits, especially with the limited amount of space we have left.
Ms. Bradford, your thoughts on, would you consider restructuring the height limit in districts 1, 2, and 3 for heights not to exceed 50 feet, or some other flexibility like 10-foot ceilings plus the new height requirements?
I'm pretty much gonna echo what you've already heard here. The CAMA Land Use Steering Committee did a survey, and of those surveyed, 50% were permanent residents, another 30% were second home people, and they all really were not interested in going over 40 feet. And I'm gonna vote for what the residents want. And we have no need to look any further than what 40 feet looks like. And we go down here on the corner of the causeway in Banks Channel at the bridge and see the house in one auditorium circle.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Cheney, your thoughts on considering restructuring the height limit in districts 1, 2, and 3 for heights not to exceed 50 feet, or some other flexibility to allow a minimum of 10-foot ceilings and the new height requirements?
From my experience being an HOA president, I realize that you can get in trouble when you make exceptions for one person. So being consistent and not creating a precedence. If one person gets something extraordinary, others will follow. They'll use that as an example. So you do have to set very strict rules. I believe in open communication, and most of the people I've spoken with, they agree that they don't want Riceville Beach to turn into Myrtle Beach or Ocean City, Maryland. And we're already discussing that our traffic patterns and all sorts of things are maximized already, so it just doesn't make sense. So would think that everyone would want to keep Riceville Beach as pristine, as aesthetically pleasing as possible, and not overburden it.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Miller, I'm going to ask for you to respond first to the next question, sir. What changes and or enhancements to Riceville Beach would you like to see happen over the next 10 years? We're talking about quality of life issues for residents and for tourists.
That is a good question.
Thank you.
That's true. I think it all goes back to what I said in the beginning. And this is all about my children and them having a reasonable opportunity to live here when they're adults. That's what I was afforded. Given the opportunity to live here, I think it's, as Bill said, we are in some listing every week or month about being the best place in the world to be, and they're going to come. They're coming to Wilmington. They're coming here. They're coming to the surrounding area. Enhancements to Riceville Beach, I think it's great now. I want to keep our taxes low. I want to find a way to put sand on that beach that doesn't completely come on our shoulders, and that's, it's headed that way. When I say us, I'm talking about the state and Riceville Beach. And we're working on that. All these issues are fairly fluid. I'd like to see a solution as best could be to having a beach that everybody wants to come to as far as traffic and pedestrians are concerned. I would like to see an exemplary public service through our police and fire, like we have pretty good now. I don't know that I want it to change. I love living on Harbor Island and Riceville Beach. It's a family beach. I'd like to see it go back and where your door's unlocked and, you know, your 2-year-old kid rides a tricycle down the beach without his clothes on. And nobody complains. Good time with that.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Prince, what changes and or enhancements to Riceville Beach would you like to see happen over the next 10 years?
I would really like to see some sustainable commercial on the island so that we are not at the mercy of the bridge every time we need something. Again, I have ideas, but it's not my thoughts that matter. It's what you people sitting there would like to see. That would be of benefit to you, and that could be sustainable on this island. Also, you may wonder what I'm getting ready to address has to do with quality of life, but it's our police, fire, and all of our town employees. Another thing this town has not done in over 8 years, and I've spoken with the town manager, the police chief, and the fire chief, and they're all very interested in this. In fact, the police chief just dealt with an issue for over 2 weeks, and this could prevent it. We have not had a classification and compensation study for employees. This does many things. It strictly defines what your job is. It shows where you're going as far as pay increases, how you move up. And the two main things that this does, if you'll remember, we lost about 10 officers about 5 years ago. First of all, what it does, you draw in a better qualified candidate to begin with. It makes us competitive with the towns around us, which we're not. And it also, you have a better retention rate, because the employees can see where exactly they're going, what exactly they're doing. And I think this would really help our quality of life. That maybe we wouldn't have to lock as many doors. And we could get better enforcement is what we need now of what's going on with a lot of the problems that we think we're facing. So these are two things I would really like to see happen in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Blair, what changes or enhancements to Riceville Beach would you like to see happen over the next 10 years?
Well, I'm sort of a believer that we've got a fair amount. I like what we have. But if you want me to be specific about things, I mean, this is kind of petty, so I'm just going to lay it out there. One of the things I'd like to see us do is get the county of New Hanover County go in there and fix that boat ramp and make it either bigger or move it or do something to get all these boat folks a place to launch their boats and not put them all over the right-of-ways and do all the stuff they do. That's just the thing, because I hear about it and get complaints about it every single weekend. As far as quality of life goes, the two biggest issues I hear about almost every week are noise ordinances and speed on this beach. And one of the things we are going to be at the retreat item, we're going to talk about a better control mechanism to enforce our speeding ordinances on this beach and to come up with a noise ordinance that has some teeth in it, because currently we really don't have anything that works, and we don't have a great way to control some of the nighttime activity in the residential neighborhoods that get complaints all the time. So those are just some of the things that they're not sexy, but they're some of the things that we hear about all the time on the beach, and those are the kind of things I'd like to fix.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Bradford, what changes or enhancements to Riceville Beach would you like to see happen over the next 10 years?
I don't think I want to change Riceville Beach. I love Riceville Beach. I love my way of life. I would like to see some long-range plans that take us out through about 50 years so that the cars that are currently backed up in front of our houses are not multiplied by the number of people that we know are coming. We know they're coming. They're coming. So we have to have a plan in place for them. Those people are going to need bathrooms. Those people are going to want, same as Mayor Blair said, the parking down at the boat ramp. I was walking around down there the other day, and there's a little bit of land left. They could put in a couple more spaces, but it's not going to be any good in 20 years or 30 years. So we have to have some long-range plans in place for how we're going to deal with things. I am not in favor of raising taxes. I am in favor of everything we can do to pump up the sand fund and keep sand on our beach. I'd like to see a few more commercial businesses flourish in our town. I'm encouraged by the Little Shark Bar. If you haven't been there, it's down by the pier. The food's great, the people are lovely, and it looks like they'll succeed. Audrey, in her coffee shop, she's succeeding. So we hear in meetings that commercial can't succeed here, but there are businesses that are succeeding. The South End Surf Shop is one very good example. So I'd like to see more. I don't want to get in my car on the weekends and be stuck in traffic for 2 hours just to go across to Harris Teeter to get a loaf of bread. I don't want to do that. One of the things I would like to be enhanced is, and this is technical, bear with me, I go to a lot of meetings, I've been watching this board for a long time, and residents used to come to the board and ask for a variance. I need my porch to be over this line a little bit. Can I have a variance?
Okay, ma'am, thank you.
Save that thought.
Ms. Chaney, what changes and or enhancements to Riceville Beach would you like to see happen over the next 10 years?
Yes, we have to be very proactive about keeping beach in Riceville Beach. If the sand just gets washed away, we'll just be Riceville. But I am a tomboy here. I usually put a hat on because I'm coming off the beach, surfing, kiteboarding, fishing, wakeboarding. I do all that, so I want the water quality to be great. I don't want to be worried about getting in the water and hearing that there's some kind of test that's gone wrong by the pier. So water quality is very important, and just life in general. I also believe in value of your investments to always be strong, taxes to be as low as possible with creative spending. Attending some of the meetings, I heard that town manager had to get a grant, or he was creative enough to get a grant to keep one of the bathrooms open by Wings year long. You know, instead of increasing your taxes, he was able to go out and find a grant to be creative with that. So definitely looking for all sorts of grants and help from county, city, and state, because everyone uses Riceville Beach and they have to go ahead and be responsible for part of our expenses as well. You can't expect 2,500 people to go ahead and take on maintaining this beautiful treasure that is the top 20 best served town in the world. The other thing I would say, you know, commercials, fine. I went ahead and ate at the Shark Bar today at lunch. So just supporting the local businesses and making sure that they're successful, that's very important. And other things, I think there was a drowning recently at the pier, so some people are asking for year-round more lifeguards, but they can go out and use technology, perhaps maybe drones in service. There's a skeletal crew right now that goes back and forth, and I was a previous lifeguard. I know you can't watch everybody all year, but being creative about keeping everyone safe in the water. And then,
okay, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Dell, what changes and or enhancements to Riceville Beach would you like to see happen over the next 10 years?
So you know, a 10-year plan is something you've got to step back and kind of look at it from a distance. So, I think it's always important to start at what I call 40,000 feet, and then you start drilling down from there until you get right down on the ground. You know, I think philosophically, we have to make up our mind, are we going to be the town of Riceville Beach, or are we going to be the suburbs of Riceville Beach? And, right now, I think we're, it says the town of Riceville Beach. So I think that's real important to me, that we remain a town and not become a suburb. So, I think that would be my mantra for the next 4 years if I got elected. And I also believe that that Marina, I'll call it Marina District now, where Marine Max is in that area. There's a lot of potential for that area, and I think it would be my job to help try to encourage folks to invest in this town and increase our tax base. That area. I also believe that
sir. Ms. Prince, I would like to ask you to respond first to the next question. Are you in favor of seeking state funding for beach reconstruction projects if it means giving up access to the room occupancy tax for tourism promotion and beach-related capital improvement? And secondly, what are your thoughts on the current use of the ROT for marketing of tourism on Wrightsville Beach?
In the conversations I've had, I'm not sure what great benefit that we get from the room occupancy tax as far as marketing for our tourism. Again, in great respect to the current board and the town, they have done a great job of setting aside money for beach renourishment, and that should be known. I am concerned about keeping our room occupancy tax money for that. And there are, I have researched, there are a couple of other ways that, should that money fall short, that can be looked at. One is that each town would be chosen 1 year apiece for a project to be done. Or, say, based on an $8 million project, 17.5% of the local costs would be split between the county and the town receiving the maintenance, which would greatly reduce the cost to both sides. And that way you could keep it going every year for every town. So, I think hopefully we won't get into that situation where we have to go to the state. That's another situation. Let's cross the bridge when we come to it, not create a panic before.
Thank you, ma'am. Mayor Blair, are you in favor of seeking state funding for beach reconstruction projects if it means giving up access to ROT for promotion of beach-related capital improvements? And secondly, what are your thoughts on the current use of the ROT for marketing of tourism on Wrightsville Beach?
Well, the good news is we're going to have to get some money from the state because the federal funding's going away from us, and I think, you know, we work on this a lot. We spend 2 years working on this ROT beach renourishment project in hopes to get approval in 4 years. So it's all of this ROT and beach funding goes well beyond when I'll be here for 2 years, because everything we're working on now is for 2020, and that process, we'd have to have another meeting to sit over here and tell everybody how much fun that is. But the state is and has is trying to create a fund to help supplement the proposed loss of federal funding that we may or may not get. We really actually right now do not know. We are currently funded for our project in this winter. We don't really have a clue where the money's all going to come from in 4 years. So whoever's on this board going forward got a lot of work to do when it comes to ROT funds and beach renourishment. As far as what kind of bang for the buck we get on ROT money for marketing, Mr. Montoya and I share a position on the board with a TEA, the CVB, and I would tell you that our ROT funds continue to increase at this beach over the last 4 or 5 years, and we get exactly zero benefit from the increased ROT monies that we get. The greatest proportion of those increases go to the CVB and the county marketing arm for us, and it's almost like the harder we try, the less benefit we get. So that theory and the way it's administered, probably we've been working on trying to change it. We're in the minority, so we're kind of working on a coalition, but that formula needs to be changed.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Bradford, your thoughts on seeking state funding for beach reconstruction projects if it means giving up access to the ROT, and what are your thoughts on the current use of the ROT for marketing of tourism on Wrightsville Beach?
I agree with Mayor Blair. I go to the TDA meetings. I hear the reports. I understand the situation. The ROT tax puts sand on our beach, so we need it. The ROT tax markets this hotel, the Holiday Inn, so we need it. Do I think the split is fair? Not really, no. Do I think I would be thrilled to see a Wilmington or a New Hanover County ad agency representing us instead of a Raleigh agency? Yeah. But it's a frustrating situation. When you look at the salaries of the people at the TDA, they are right healthy. I'd like more of that money to do what it was intended to do when that legislation was passed. none of us up here know what the federal government's going to do, what the state government's going to do. So anything we say on that edge is just pure speculation. I commend the current board. We've been socking away money since Mayor Blair has been there. And we've got $2.9 million in our sand fund. That's nothing on an $8 or $9 million renourishment project, but it's a start. And so we can't solve this problem tonight. They're working hard on it. We are one small cog in the TDA. If we can join forces with the other beach towns and maybe push a little bit more in a collective effort against the Wilmington TDA, we might get a little further along, but it's a time-consuming thing. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Cheney, your thoughts on seeking state funding for beach reconstruction projects, if it means giving up access to the ROT for tourism promotion? What are your thoughts on the current use of the ROT for promotion of tourism on Wrightsville Beach?
Yeah, going back to my diverse background, that could help the board immensely. I have a master's in information systems, but my bachelor's is in marketing. I love marketing. I've attended the marketing meeting where they discussed that the blockade runner was not fully occupied during the 4th of July. So whatever spending is happening right now is not being done well. So your money can definitely be stretched and it can be spent wiser. If this beautiful hotel is not occupied 4th of July, there's a major problem. So just throwing money in it is not the solution. You have to find out new ways to go ahead and bring in visitors. It could have been because 4th of July fell on in the middle of the week, or it could have been Gen X negative comments that people were afraid to come this way. It could have been anything, or maybe people just thought that Wrightsville Beach was crowded at the time. So just being wise with the money, but we need to take the federal the shrinking and going and the federal funds that will be going away very seriously. That is going to happen, so it's inevitable for us that we have to put away more money. Being a small business owner, I always believe every penny counts, and you have to plan for a rainy day. For here, plan for a hurricane day. Take it seriously. You've all seen how bad things could get here, and you have to go ahead and put away every penny for that, and then be more creative with things that are such as advertising and tourism, and don't give away your money to Wilmington and other places, which is not being well spent and managed well.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Dell, your thoughts on seeking state funding for beach reconstruction projects if it means giving up access to the ROT? And what are your thoughts on the current use of the ROT for marketing of tourism on Wrightsville Beach?
So, I think the current board and the staff for this town have done a great job of managing our budget and putting away money. It's like we're on this train and the bridge is out ahead. We all know it. And so we have to do something. And if folks here see fit for me to be elected, my job would be to continue to advocate at the state level as much as possible and maintain relationships to get the money that we need. Now, I don't know why you necessarily have to give up something because you need some other funding, but the ROT funds are very important. And the tourism dollars that we get are also part of the lifeblood of this town. So this, I don't know, it's an either or question. I don't know why we can't advocate to our state, which as they know just as well as we do, that these federal funds are dwindling and we're going to have to get support from them.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Miller, are you in favor of seeking state funding for beach reconstruction projects if it means giving up access to the ROT? What are your thoughts on the current use of the ROT for marketing of tourism on Wrightsville Beach?
I think the point of the question is, if elected, are we going to work hard for the chamber? Or for the chamber's question is this going to take some effort? It has taken some effort. Sue, Pat, Bill, involvement in the meetings. This is not something that just came up last night. It's been going on for a long time. Went to David Rouser's inauguration, I don't know, 4 years ago, whenever it was, and we started this issue. We've still got the contract to put the sand on there, to put the sand on the beach, but we don't have the money for the next, we have the money for the next project. So this is a fluid situation. And I think the question is, or if you've got people that are serving on the board, that have the contacts, that know the people, that they have to work and lobby. You folks that have relationships in Washington need to come get involved with the chamber in us. This is a big, big issue for Riceville Beach. And it's something that this board has been working on under Mr. Blair's leadership, and Daryl and Elizabeth and Lisa. It takes relationships, it takes work, it's gonna take state, take work at the state level. Tom Benson's working on it right now, we have a relationship with him, Leighton Bledsoe, and your state, delegation, Ted Davis and Michael Lee. We're gonna have to work all of them, because it's gonna have to come from somewhere, and it's gonna come from us in the state. But no, we don't get enough money. Mary doesn't get enough money to advertise the Black Haven Run. There's no excuse for Black Haven Run not to be full in July. My house is full, so that Black Haven Run, maybe I'll send them over here. But we give them a lot of money, and they don't give us a lot of money back. That's the point. And we need to work harder on it.
Thank you, sir. We've covered a lot of issues, but we haven't touched on all of them. So now each one of the candidates will have 2 minutes what they would like to tell the voters if we didn't touch on an issue they'd like to cover. And we'll begin with our first of the closing statements with incumbent Mayor Bill Blair. Mayor Blair, you have 2 minutes.
You know, whether or not somebody's running against me or not, I enjoy doing the long range plan. I enjoy working with this board, and we've made a lot of progress. And you don't get paid a whole lot, but that's where you get your satisfaction for seeing a lot of stuff come together and a lot of long range planning get done. And the folks on this board make that a pleasurable experience, and that's what we've had for the last 4 years. I would tell you guys, all these items we're talking about tonight, the ROT and all these bigger items are pretty important. They're a little complicated. They take a long time. It's not something we can get done in a hurry, but it takes a concerted effort with a group of people, along in concert with the staff. And I've watched it for 4 years. It's been a pretty good thing. Even my detractors would tell you that it's actually been a pretty successful event. So my hope is that the years going forward, we can continue that and then have the same successes.
Thank you, sir. Next, for her closing statement, Riceville Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Pat Bradford. Ms. Bradford, 2 minutes, ma'am.
One of the concerns that I started and didn't finish earlier was a concern in the way we handle zoning issues. And there's a trend to have your lawyer write a text amendment to our zoning ordinance so that you can get your one thing done. And I'm concerned about that, and I'd like to reverse that trend because it applies the standard unevenly. So many people in this town have come before the board for a variance request and been turned down, and yet a very large house on the corner of the causeway in the auditorium circle got a variance for stormwater. And in that hearing, the applicant said, yes, I can still build my house if you don't grant me this variance. And the planning director, Tony Wilson, said, they can build a 6,000 square foot if you deny this variance request, but they can build a 7,200 square foot house if you grant it. And it was a unanimous vote. And we'll all live with the consequences of that vote down there on the corner. It's created a canyon effect as you cross the bridge, and it's just not in keeping with that particular neighborhood. And in closing, you know me. I've been here a long time. I've been writing to you for a long time. You know my mark. I will always do what's in the best interest of Riceville Beach. I want to be your voice and not an echo of what everyone else says. I want to be a voice of those who don't have a lobby, who don't have an attorney, who don't have a special interest group. I just want to represent you, the people. I ask you tonight for your vote, and I don't take that lightly. I want you to know that I will do my very best for you. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, for her closing statement, Riceville Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Sonia Cheney. Ms. Cheney, you have 2 minutes.
Yes, I just wanted to reiterate my diverse background. And again, I grew up in Huron. I've been there at demonstrations, had bullets go by my face, almost got shot at. I've seen torture dungeons, so I'm not afraid to speak up. So whatever is on your mind, you can be sure that I'll go ahead and get the message delivered and look at many creative ways to go ahead and get a problem solved. And again, being in a coastal community, you don't want the water to get stagnant. Water needs to keep moving. You need new ideas. You need fresh members on the board to represent you so you can have a true democracy, not any kind of a monarchy that people are not afraid to run and be a part of the community. And you can't find anyone more dedicated than I. I live here with my kids. I have exchange students here. I have my dog that I might want to work with the mayor by getting her in there during prime time in the morning and maybe at night, but we'll talk about that later. And then, and also, I work here. I'm driving the streets all the time. Sometimes I'm contacting Terry about a car accident I saw, and he's nice enough to give me credit for the photos. So I'm always around. I'll be your eyes when you're enjoying the beach or working. And going back to my tomboy days, I love cars. You want the car to just drive nice and smoothly. You don't want to have to look under the hood. Let me look under the hood, make sure the engine's working, the oil is changed, everything is okay. So allow me the opportunity to do that, because my personality type is helper and I can't help but get involved. So trust me to go ahead and represent you and have your best interest at heart, not my own biased opinion, but the majority.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, for his closing statement, we have Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Kent Dull. Mr. Dull, 2 minutes.
John, thank you again. Thanks to everybody for coming out tonight. So it's very important for our town. And I just want to say that, you know, I've spent the past 25 years doing different civic work throughout Southeast North Carolina. And it's kind of all culminated to this moment in time that the time is right for me to do this for the town. I would be honored to serve you guys and ask for your vote tonight. I run a business. I've been in business for 25 years, and my budget, my office is actually larger than the town budget for Wrightsville Beach. So, you know, I feel like I'm very physically conservative, and you know, I manage a budget. I pay a payroll every 2 weeks, and you know, it's so important that we manage this town properly. And I guess, the last thing that I'd like to say is, you know, I do think my best attribute is my willingness to listen to folks and hear them out and build consensus. I mean, that's kind of what this kind of leadership is all about, is building consensus and moving forward in a positive direction. And I feel like this town has a lot of momentum right now, and it's actually inspired me to try to take this next step. So I would appreciate your vote and hopefully keep the momentum of this town moving forward. And thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, sir. Next, for his closing statement, we have incumbent Wrightsville Beach Alderman Hank Miller. Mr. Miller, you have 2 minutes.
Thanks, John. I, too, want to thank you all for coming tonight. I know that you've got probably better things to do than come out here and listen. I would like to encourage you, regardless of who you vote for or who is elected, come to our town meetings. I mean, that's the way to get involved. You're coming here to hear five people, and I appreciate everybody running for office. I think we are a democracy, and it's a great thing to see everybody run. But I would encourage you to get involved. I did hear everybody kind of agreed everything's going well. Nobody really wants anything to change. They've got ideas, and ideas that we need to look at. We've talked about a 10-year plan. We are working on this stuff. I mean, we have a retreat in the fall that we talk about the parking, we talk about all the stuff that we're talking about. We've got a water and sewer committee that should have a report in the next couple months. It's been looking at it for 2 years. We've got the long range, or the Campbell Land Use Plan coming up. We're looking at the traffic. A lot of these things are happening. That's why I say come to the meetings and listen to what's going on. I appreciate the last 4 years. It's been fun. The last time I ran, I did so bad up here that I had to come up with something good to close on, and I think I told everybody my wife was pregnant. She was so mad because she didn't come tonight. She's not pregnant, but she's actually out of town and she'd be here. I love Wrightsville Beach. I'll be here as long as I can. I'll serve as long as you want me. I do ask for your support, and I've enjoyed my last 4 years on the board. And thanks again for coming. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And for a closing statement, we have Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen candidate Pat Prince. Ms. Prince, you have 2 minutes, ma'am.
Ladies and gentlemen, I stand for you, and thank you for coming. We have been entrusted with preserving and protecting a very unique area here on our coast, and we must plan forward. There's very little room for error, such as these big projects we've got coming across the bridge and how they're gonna affect our traffic greatly. We've really gotta keep an eye on this. And I promise you that I'll listen and learn and do my absolute honest best to make the right decisions for you and for our environment. I want to leave you with just a couple of thoughts. I feel cooperation and compromise are the key to any accomplishments. And I feel that I can work well with others and see all points of views and take them in. And lastly, voting is a privilege. I hope you vote for me. If you choose not to, please use that voice and vote. Thank you again so much for coming.
Pat Prince, Hank Miller, Ken Dahl, Sonia Cheney, Pat Radford, Bill Blair. A round of applause for our candidates.
Thank you all for coming. I'll put my technical savvy to bed. And there are refreshments and everything here. I want to say thank you again from the chamber. We're a little chamber. We're the little engine that can, we think. And we have one more event that we want you to come to, and that's the November 5th Oyster Roast. It's at the Oceanic Pier from 4 to 6:30. And we do it on the Sunday before election for a purpose. We do it so that you come out and thank these people for taking their time and working with us and for us, and to have some fun. So with that, I thank you all for coming. Thank you so much. John?
Did I hang out for a while?
Not really.